Hey, this is Ox King from Dragon Ball Z Kai. Can you let me on your computer there? I need to listen to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig Crew on thisweekingeek.net.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think you would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks.
What you gonna do, brother? Today, I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, and this is the topic show for the month of January on Super Bowl Sunday, because we've been really sick and really busy, just friggin' deal with it. But I'm not alone as I enter the ring with my faithful tag team partner.
Oh, Hulkamaniacs, do you hear who this is? It's the Macho Man, Scotty Doo.
And that's right, guys, we are gonna be talking about the cinematic escapades, the adventures, the whimsy that is Terry Hulk Hogan. And well, this is a show, typically in January, we celebrate April Fool's about 4 months early on this show, and I don't really know why. I burped there, sorry. And we wanted to do Hulk Hogan, and I don't know why. I think it was randomly a joke conversation I had with Dave or you, Scotty. We were just like, oh, we should talk about Hulk Hogan. And then it just kind of dawned on us.
It was just one of those late night conversations where we're like, let's talk about this. Okay, sounds good to me.
Yeah,
okay. See you in 3 weeks.
I mean, we have had shows on Nicolas Cage and other equal bits of stupidity. And well, hey, honestly, he's going to be making an appearance at WrestleMania in March. And I've been watching some things of his recently. I've recently found probably what will likely become my top five movies of all time, No Holds Barred, because it's so amazing. In fact, I can't wait till you hear just the facts. There's going to be something right at the end of it I think you'll appreciate, Scotty. And that's what we're going to talk about this month. So without any further ado, here is my roast slash just the facts of Hulk Hogan. Welcome, my friends, and I'm here to tell you that this is the Twig Topic Show for the month of January, and well, we're going to skew things a little bit different, mostly because we're a couple of days late. You know what? Just deal with it. But I'm here to tell you about a man who came to us on a day unlike any other. This man was born under a different name, but you know him as birthed from Zeus's loins himself, as Terry Hulk Hogan, from the glorious land that is Augusta, Georgia, USA. This man also is known as the Hulk, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, Hulkamania, Thunderlips, Terry Boulder, Sterling Gold, or even known as Mr. America. That's right, we are talking about the 80s greatest wrestling icon, Hulk Hogan. What can I say about this guy? This guy has done everything since making his professional wrestling debut back in 1978 and wrestled under the name Sterling Gold. But he would come to prominence getting main event matches from the American Wrestling Alliance in the early 1980s before eventually becoming Thunderlips in Rocky III, which also starred Mr. T, coincidentally enough. And he would make it huge into the World Wrestling Federation, becoming one of the biggest personalities out there. And he would meet many friends and many enemies along the way, his most notable being Macho Man Randy Savage. That's right, the man who told you to snap into a Slim Jim. He would go on to perform many great tag team matches with this guy, fighting other foes such as the Ultimate Warrior, and ultimately just becoming the all-American hero you all know and love. I mean, What can I say? His theme song was originally written for another pair of wrestlers, but it was just found out that it fit Hulk Hogan like that red bandana wrapped around his head in utter love. Now, one of the things you may not know about Hulk Hogan is Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage actually destroyed the Berlin Wall when it came down by using the atomic leg drop on it. That's right. Did you know you have the mega powers to thank for your freedom? I didn't think so. But Terry Hulk Hogan's career would continue outside of the ring, and he would enter the realm of Hollywood. That's right. Aside from playing Thunder Lips in Rocky III, he decided to try his hand at something a little bit more serious as the years would go on, and he would star in such Academy Award-winning classics as the epic love story No Holds Barred, where he fought Zeus. Not the Zeus from the loins from which he was spurned, but another guy known as Tommy Lister. And, you know, he's huge. But, you know, he would also go on to the amazingly funny Suburban Commando. And the lesser-known Academy Award-winning gem, Mr. Nanny. And Thunder in Paradise, a short-lived television series, which I'm sure would put, you know, Law and Order to shame, because it's got a robot boat with a gun. I mean, how much more awesome can you get? And he would eventually return to the ring with WCW, and he would even go on to star in a Three Ninjas movie. Trust me, even Orson Welles himself is rolling in his grave that he didn't get this chance. Ultimately, Terry Hulk Hogan would be a staple in wrestling entertainment for years to come. And, you know, he's just one of those guys, no matter where he goes, be it reality TV or even a sex tape, he's known everywhere he goes. So today we celebrate the life, the legacy, the demigod himself, Terry Hulk Hogan. And, well, what can I say about his career but this?
What's that smell?
What's that smell? Dookie!
What is the greatest cinematic achievement of mankind? Fuck Citizen Kane, it is the Dookie scene. I couldn't believe it.
I just
gotta
have a little Dookie here. I can smell it right now.
Oh, you know what? It's one of those times in a movie I can't believe what I just heard.
Oh, so, those are the best.
I must have rewatched it with Blair like five times over and over. It got funnier each and every time.
That's like the one scene with me in Spider-Man. There's a scene where he's like following Mary Jane in the first Spider-Man film and he wants to talk to her, but he can't. So he like starts talking under his breath. He's like, "Hi, MJ. Hi, MJ." And I would always replay that scene because the way he said it was such like a petter ass way, and it makes me laugh still. He's just walking about. He's like, how he's going to talk to me. He's like, "Hi, MJ." It's like Michael Jackson.
Oh, my God. But, you know, it's one of these things that it's amazing how many of his movies I really did like as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And Hulk Hogan has been my favorite wrestler for probably about 30 years.
I think he's everyone's favorite wrestler.
Well, he had such
charisma to him. He was such a interesting character. He was always the hero. He was the guy you always looked up to. You're like, Hulk Hogan, yeah, Hulk can do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially when you hear his theme song, as you heard during Just the Facts there.
Love that song.
It's honestly inspiring. It's American patriotism, but it just fills you with that feel good vibe that the 80s for a lot of hero types really just kind of threw off.
It's got to hear bam 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 bam, and I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I mean, can overcome whatever.
I mean, he's that cultural icon that really can't be matched. Actually, it's funny. I requested on a local radio station, Boom 97.3, that they play the Hulk Hogan theme song, and I think they did on Friday night.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing.
I'm just thinking, yeah, this is the 80s right here, man. And by doing this show, me and Scotty did a lot of research just by going back, watching his movies. I've watched the Hulk Hogan anthology that's available on Netflix. And doing this, it's kind of a feel good. talk show. Though, ultimately, as you heard during my interesting, just the facts, we're going to make fun of the guy. No word of a lie. So, I guess, where do our memories of Hulk Hogan start?
Oh, man, my memories of Hulk Hogan start with, like, man, old games, probably. But actually, I think it was like the mid-90s when I started to watch wrestling, like Saturday mornings. I remember he would start having some comebacks or whatever. He'd like start coming back as like Hulk Hogan or like Mr. America, I think he came back as for a while. Mm-hmm. But there used to be some old wrestling on TV as well, and I used to watch that. And I was like, this is Hulk Hogan. This is so awesome. And my friend lent me some VHSs of old wrestling, and I used to watch them with like my parents because they bonded over that in the 80s. They used to love watching it. It's something about the characters. They all had personality to them. They weren't like two-dimensional. They're all such larger-than-life characters that when you watch them, you couldn't believe what you're seeing on the screen. And when I was so inspired by these guys, like, these guys are so awesome. And then I wanted to go get in fights and beat the crap out of people. But I never did because I fear conflict.
One of the things that I got into in the Hulk Hogan is I remember my parents used to pay the satellite guy to get us the pay-per-views for nothing. And I remember this, I can't remember which one I watched, but I just remember watching him go out and wrestle and just kick so much ass that I'm like, man, I love that guy. And he'd come out in his red fucking t-shirt or his yellow one, depending on when he
was. Rip that shit up.
And just rip it off and be so epic and awesome. And it really inspired the ever-living crap out of me, much like you. I remember, no word of a lie, there was... okay, so on the playground of my school at Hepworth, there used to be this jungle gym, but it was like monkey bars or something. Mm-hmm. It was like a dome.
Okay.
We had cage matches.
So you had like Thunderdome at school.
Oh my god, it was so much. I remember my friend Wayne kicking the ever-living shit out of me. And I tried to do the atomic leg drop on him. Let's just say it did work out so well for me or the ground. Cool. So I'm sitting there, my nose is just gushing blood, and I'm beat up. He's pretty beat up too, because I put him in like a couple of headlocks and dropped him. And we're sitting there, and out front of the office of my school are the stairs they used to put up to the stage. We're sitting on the stairs waiting for the principal, and we're looking at each other like, all right, so what story do you want to go with? And we're just sitting there trying to figure out how to get our story straight so we don't get in trouble. And that's how I made a really fast friend that day, and my friend Wayne. We stayed friends for like decades. I just remember that I'm like, I want to be like Hulk Hogan. I want to be the strong guy who's the hero. And that's the thing, though. Like, all during the 80s, he was a hero. He wasn't yet the heel that he would become kind of later on. And I remember having those terrible, terrible LJN wrestling toys.
Oh, I have a few of those.
And yeah, they're made out of this rubbery rubber, I guess. That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, they're just
them.
Like giant rubber erasers almost.
And there's no poseability to them. But I remember LJN would sell you the ring where you could do matches, but unless your wrestlers were in the right pose, I looked really fucking dumb. I think it was millionaire Ted DiBiase just stood there
million
with like
million dollar man.
He stood there with his hand in the air. That was it. I'm like, what the fuck are you gonna do against Sergeant Slaughter? And I'm just thinking, man, whoever designed these toys doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. I think it's like Jax Pacific does them or maybe Mattel does them, and they look a lot better now than they ever have. And I'm trying to think of what else really got me. I remember playing WrestleMania on my Nintendo Entertainment System. I would always pick Hulk Hogan or Bam Bam Bigelow, and I just remember my grandmother really hated the Macho Man for some fucking reason. I'm like,
he always tells me to slap into a Slim Jim.
He's like,
fuck that blue-eyed devil.
See, that's something he would say. My mom would say, she'd be like, fuck that asshole. He looks like such a... But yeah, and these
fuck
are her
that flamboyant fuck.
Shit like that. I remember one time she called him a queer, and I'm like, what's a queer, Mom?
And Miss Elizabeth's only there for show. When he says snap into a Slim Jim, that's his gay satanic message.
It was so fucking ridiculous. But she always encouraged my love of Hulk Hogan, which is really weird. And whenever we'd see him on TV, we'd watch it. I remember he had a short-lived television show, which we'll talk about later, called Thunder in Paradise, which is essentially the Simpsons version of Night Boat. It's so fucking stupid. And I guess that's where we'll kind of transition into our first kind of segue here. And I want to talk a little bit about his wrestling career. I had the chance to watch the anthology DVDs with him. And I didn't realize he fought so many cool people. He was one of the first people, not the first though, to body slam Andre the Giant.
That was a big thing too.
Oh yeah.
Was it WrestleMania 3 or something?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
It was WrestleMania 3 or 6 or something like that. I'm not totally an expert on this shit yet. I'm still getting into wrestling. But I remember
I'm pretty much a novice as well.
But watching him fight him was so cool. And this match like dragged out for so long. And it was really impressive. Just watching him come out, grab this guy who was like 530, like heavier than me, if not heavier than me, equivalent to me. And I'm a pretty big motherfucker. Just picked this guy up, grabbed his leg, flipped him upside down, and just hit the mat. It was this thunderous, just boom! And just watching them kick the crap out of each other was so much fun because the crowd was so into it. We were so into it. Fucking Mean Gene Oakland commentating it.
So good.
I think it was him and Gorilla Monsoon or something.
Probably.
And just, it was so cool just seeing this. And then he teamed up with Macho Man Randy Savage to form...
The Mega Powers?
Yep, the Mega Powers. And then they were split up because of a woman at some point.
Miss Elizabeth.
And it was something so electric. Whenever he came out, I mean, even the odd time he lost a match, there was a sense of dignity about it. The one match that I remember, he lost to The Rock in 2000. I think it was 2000 something or late 90s. I'm pretty sure it was 2000 though. Mm-hmm. In Toronto, I think is where this happened. The Rock and him were wrestling. The Rock won. And Hulk Hogan stood up and he shook Rocky Maivia's hand, Dwayne Johnson's hand, and raised his arm in the air to signify victory. And that arena exploded.
Wasn't basically he was passing the torch at that point?
Yeah, basically, yeah. I mean, he was like, you are the new face of the WWF. Carry it forward, sort of thing. And Hulk Hogan, depending on what interviews you like see him in, he's a really, I don't know. I don't know if I'd call him humble. He can be, though, at the right time. But he always had this electric air about him that you never got douchebag until he became involved with WCW's, where he became Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Which is weird, or I think it was just called Hollywood Hogan. And the main reason I found out by doing a little bit of research in this is because he didn't own the name Hulk Hogan.
No, Marvel owned Hulk.
Yeah, and he didn't get it back until like last year or something like that.
I thought they still own it and he has to pay them a royalty or something.
I'm not sure. I mean, in the research that I came across, he owns it now, which I always found that really weird. And it's the first time Hulk Hogan turned heel. He turned into this bad guy, the leader of the NWO with like Kevin Nash and some other guy whose name I can't remember. I'm probably going to get letters for this.
And this is when I realized I truly love the evil in life. And I realized that if the Hulk can do it, I can join the
dark realm side of
the dastardly.
Well, he was like, I want to be treated with respect. And it's funny, though, I was also reading on his IMDb profile, he was really good friends with Jesse the Body Ventura in the 90s, and they stopped being friends because Hulk Hogan tipped off Vince McMahon that they're trying to form a labor union in wrestling, because they're not protected by anything. And Jesse's like, you stab me in the back, you motherfucker. And that was it. They stopped becoming friends. And it's weird. He used to live next door to Vince McMahon for 10 plus years.
Hulk or Jesse?
Hulk lived next door to Vince McMahon. Though it's interesting to live next door to your boss.
It'd suck.
And you would see Hulk Hogan just do a lot of a lot of charity things too during his big years. In fact, I think he's the, according to I think his IMDb page, he's the single most requested celebrity from the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh man, if I was dying of cancer as a kid, I think I either would have picked Ernest or Hulk Hogan. In all honesty,
yes,
those are the two people.
Same here. Like, there's just so much about it. Like, he really made wrestling. I mean, it's one of those American pastimes that everybody, you either love it or hate it. But Hulk Hogan, I think, made it feel accessible to everybody. Because he brought such showmanship to his thing. When he does his ringside interviews or when they're in front of the big sign, he's like, "You listen here, brother." And he would do
this. "Oh, brother, on Saturday night, I'm gonna beat you down.
For this great American nation." Yeah, and he would have this thing. He's like, "Oh, the little Hulkamaniacs." I mean, yeah, he was the greatest showman and shillman that I can think of in probably, I don't know, he's just one of those guys that could sell you anything.
Snake oil.
Yeah, like, he could sell ice cream to like Eskimos. And through his wrestling career, he made every match mean something. Although there was one match where he was supposed to win the title, and the guy just laid down and let Hulk Hogan pin him. And that's the night I think he left WCW. And it's just, wow, the fact that he would walk away from that. But then later, he would be inducted into the Wrestling Hall of Fame. He inducted Mean Gene, I think, back in 2006. And he's coming back. The big thing I've been hearing, and that's kind of why I got back in the wrestling, he's going to be at WrestleMania 30 in March.
Maybe I'll go watch it then.
He's 60 years old. Well, that's the thing. I really want to do it. And the WWE app is launching on February 24th, which is the day after Elimination Cell, which is my first pay-per-view event that I'm going to ever. I'm really excited about that. So, yeah, that's what I remember of his wrestling career. I remember he had long-standing rivalries with the Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man for a while, then they became buddies. Actually, it turns out him and Brutus the Barber Beefcake were really good friends. And I don't know, I can't think of many people that have a bad word to say about Hulk Hogan, at least from his wrestling days. I'm sure somebody knows, and I'd love to hear you guys tell me this, because I really want to know more. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net, if you have any, maybe even stories of Hulk Hogan, I'd love to talk about it on this week's Nerd News Network. So hit me up. So Scotty, when you saw his wrestling, mm-hmm. what did you take away from it? Or basically, describe your experiences with it.
Well, sorry, it's something in my throat.
Don't die on me.
I won't. There we go. But I don't know. I guess he was one of those first people I saw to be a real like hero. Like, I'm like, this guy exists. This guy's a hero. Because I was really young. And there's something about him always, the way he'd carry himself into the ring was always very high. And like, this guy is like that knight who's coming in to disperse the evil in his arena. And I think that's what I always really liked is also how he portrayed himself, like as a showman and everything, from watching the old tapes, like seeing the old wrestling promos where they basically improv it all. With those two guys just going at each other about the next main event coming up. And that always got me excited, even though I was watching old things that I'm like, this already happened like 15 years ago. But I think I really took away that was that there, you can have, it's like some honor thing, I guess he had when I always watched him. Like, he was a knight in a sense.
He was the hero you wanted to believe in.
He was, and I always felt he was he was real, because I'm watching this, and this is before I knew wrestling had some staging to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, this was real. Like, this is 100% real. I was like, oh my gosh. Basically, how I equate it was, wrestling was like soap operas for dudes at the time, or kids. Because it wasn't like your mother watching Days of Our Lives. We're watching, like, WWF and, like, all these stories unfolding and what's going to happen next. That's, I think, the best correlation I can make with it. And I think that's what I always liked was, even into the 90s, when the early mid-90s, like 96, Hulk Hogan still had some stuff going on, if I remember. And I used to go like hang out with my grandpa, and then I'd be like, can we watch wrestling? It was like, they replayed it on Saturdays. So we'd watch it and stuff. And I was getting like angry at people. I was like, fuck this Vince McMahon guy. He's like 4 years old. I'm like, he's an asshole. He's such a dick to everybody. And I'm like, Hulk Hogan, kick his ass. And I'm just watching this stuff. And I don't know. Something about those times, I think, are really great to see. Like, me and my moms ended up buying a lot of wrestling DVDs, like old 80s wrestling ones, like Hulk Hogan ones, like WrestleMania 3, at a used DVD store. Because it was nostalgic for her. And just something about watching it still, it can still captivate you. It's not as fast-paced as a lot of sporting events go, but
it was
you can
more
still
of a
watch
show.
It and you get excited. Even though you know how it is, you're like, oh shit, you're watching that guy get slammed, and it's always so exciting.
Yeah, like there's just something about his matches, he made them seem like these larger-than-life spectacles, and they could be just ordinary exhibition matches.
But oh, yeah.
Still, they were fun. And another great match is anytime he fought the Iron Sheik, who is the most amazing man on Instagram and Twitter. I highly suggest you follow him. In fact,
I've heard stories of him.
There is. Oh, I like the fact that he came to Toronto to challenge Rob Ford to a wrestling match. And he posted an Instagram back in, I think it was July, and he reposted it in the last couple weeks. He's like, Rob Ford, you eat cheeseburgers? You fucking jabroni! And I love listening to him. You fat fuck! And he's just amazing. And then at Fan Expo, I think it was this year or last year, somehow Rob Ford beat Hulk Hogan in a wrestling match.
Oh, did you actually watch that video?
Yeah, he like beats him in like an arm wrestling match. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, the video, Hulk Hogan's like, and then Hulk Hogan pulls his arm down. He's like, oh!
Like, Jesus Christ.
He comes out and he's like, Hulkster's coming for you. I'm going to run this city of Toronto if I beat you. All the Hulkamaniacs will be at my side. I'm like, I fucking want Hulk Hogan to be the mayor of Toronto.
I think that'd be awesome. I would vote for him. And honestly, he considered running for president. I think the best lineup for like president in the U.S. would be if you could get
Hulkaman is the vice president?
No, Jimmy Hart, his manager. The mouth of the South.
The mouth of the South.
Love Jimmy Hart. I think
at Congress meetings. Or...
And he's still got the fucking megaphone.
That reminds me of I think it was last year or so when I started getting into 80s wrestling again. They actually had an episode, I don't remember of which of the wrestling programs it was, but it was all the old wrestlers wrestling again. And, like, Jimmy Hart's there with his megaphone. Fucking Sergeant Slaughter comes in. It was so epic.
There's one thing that got me to love Jimmy Hart again. It's this weird movie. Came out from Anchor Bay about 2 or 3 years ago. And it's called Monster Brawl. And it's literally old wrestlers fighting each other. It's got Kevin Nash is in it, Jimmy Hart, Lance Henderson, who's fucking Bishop, Art Hengel, and Dave Foley from Kids in the Hall.
Dave Foley?
Yeah. And one of the characters, one of them is called Witch Bitch. that's her literal name, comes out and fights. It's ridiculous. I wish Hulk Hogan found a way to get in that. Which
is too highbrow.
Which I guess that kind of transitions into our next thing, is talking about his cinematic experiences. The earliest I can remember him that wasn't wrestling, he did a cartoon on CBS called Hulk Hogan's Rock and Roll Wrestling.
Oh gosh.
Which he would appear in the opening for that. He would appear in some of the live action segments, but he was actually voiced by Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond.
The dopey cop guy who's always like, oh, Raymond. Oh, man.
So I'm like, how the... Ayla, what the fuck are you doing? Sorry, my cat's being weird. And he would do that. And I remember they would have... Uncle Phil was on there. James Avery, he played... I think he played Junkyard Dog or Tino Santino, whatever the hell his name is. And it was such a weird cartoon. The thing is, I only ever saw it once or twice, and it wasn't until last year I found a guy who had access to like what must have been the CBS master tapes, because the quality of these rips are phenomenal. And I'm really surprised WWE has not found a way to license these to sell, because I think they really would sell. So the movie that I first remember seeing him in was Mr. Nanny. And I think I went to the theaters to see this when I was a kid. So here's the stupid setup. He plays a former wrestler, big surprise, who's down on his luck. He's living in Florida, just kind of doing his thing.
So is this basically Mickey Rourke's the wrestler, though? Sounds like it.
Mickey Rourke's the wrestler, but with Sherman Helmsley. So Mr. Jefferson comes and says, "Come on, you got to come work for me. I need a job. Come on, Wheezy." And so what happens is he gets the job working for some computer guy, and he has to protect his kids. And he's like, "Oh, okay." And they run into Mama Love. And if you don't know who Mama Love is, she's this big, big, burly black woman who is hilarious. And she's like, "You're going to last longer than the next one? Ha!" So she has this, like, list of, like, 50 names, and, like, "You'll be next, white boy." And so these two kids are bastards. One, this boy, I can't remember the kid's name. It's not important. So the boy is, like, a super genius. He can invent things. His crowning achievement being the electric toilet seat.
Hey, and we need that.
And an electromagnet that somehow is directional. So anyway, and the girl is just kind of annoying, whatever. Discount Kevin McAllister. So they basically end up torturing him, and eventually he befriends them. But it turns out this guy from his past and Sherman Helmsley's past wants to steal this computer chip because science. And the reason this matters is because back in the past, those two threw this guy off a roof. He landed on his head and cost him his hair. And now he wears like a fucking metal plate, like some fucking supervillain. And it's just, it gets so ridiculous. You get to see Hulk Hogan in a tutu. You get to see him naked more times than is absolutely necessary. He steps in the shower and the kid throws in a live electrical cord. So this kid is basically trying to murder him. Mm. And it just gets so ridiculous. The most ridiculous part of this movie, though, comes when Sherman Helmsley is helping the boy go to school. There are these bullies that are kicking the shit out of him. So he's like, "All right, boy, I'll help you. I'll help you out." He's like, "All right." Pulls out brass knuckles. Okay, he's like, "Nah, man, I don't need that." Pulls out something else. It's a fucking can of mace. He's like, "Mace him right in the face." And the kid's like, "Nah, I can't do this." He's like, "All right, fine, I got Old Reliable here." Pulls out from his pants at least a meter length of lead pipe. He's like, "If this don't work, you can tune them with this." He's like, "Nah, man, I got this." So the kid walks past the bullies, and they're like, "Give me $50. He's like, "I only have like 20. I'll take it anyway," or something. So the kid pulls out his wallet. It's electrified. So the kid gets more or less driven off by a fucking cattle prod. And it's so ridiculous, because that's how he beats the main bad guy in this. He gets electrically charged, gets his metal head stuck to this fucking dynamo thing, and he gets launched up into the stratosphere. And the only thing that comes down is his metal plate from his head, which means he's walking around with an exposed skull if and when he survives what is likely a 500-foot drop after being launched into the sky. And Hulk Hogan beats up a karate dude. He, like, pulls people into the water. It's so ridiculous. And the kids, as a final bid to make him stay, tie a chain to the back of his motorcycle. When this chain gets pulled taut, he gets launched into a tree.
These kids are sociopaths, or like psychopaths,
like,
I meant.
Yeah, seriously, they will, like, almost every dirty trick or prank they play has the potential for deadly violence. Which I always found that really funny. In the 90s, slapstick humor was often fatal.
Like, it really was.
Well, there's a series on YouTube, and I think it's the Screen Junkies do this, and they have a medical professional say how many lives it would take to get through a movie, for example. Mm-hmm. And I think with Home Alone, it's 14 Marvs and like 10 Harrys or something like that would survive the entirety of Home Alone 1 and 2. So I'd love to see him do something like Mr. Nanny, just because there's so many things like electrified in the shower, Sean is dead, or whatever. That was the character's name that he played. Now, Scotty, you get to tell us a movie.
Oh, my God.
Please do it. Please do
so
it.
The one that I had the unfortunate pleasure, I guess, of watching with my eyes was a little film called Suburban Commando.
Fuck this movie.
At first I'm watching it and I was like, okay, this movie's turned all right. I'm like, okay, it's like some sci-fi. We're getting some fucking Captain Power going on here. All right, look at this suit. Alrighty, guy throws his envelope out of a pocket, cuts off a hand, and then becomes a cockroach hand. I'm like, okay, this is gonna be cool. And then it gets like really lame where he's flying out and he gets so mad he smashes his console of his computer. And they're like, oh, Shep, what'd you do? You broke the power console. Oh, I'm Hulk Hogan. I'm angry. Okay, you're old. But I'm Hulk Hogan. I'm eternally youthful. All right, so go down to this planet called Earth and live there for 6 weeks while your vehicle charges, but you're only allowed to charge it at 0.1% of its charging capacity. It's just stupid. And so he gets down there, and apparently he's like, oh, shit, Earthlings, I gotta live with these assholes. Okay, let's go. He's down there, and apparently he's so used to Earth life anyways. He understands every single concept of it. There's no, like, difference between his planet and ours, apparently. And then he ends up going to Christopher Lloyd's house before he became Doc Brown. And I think near the end of the movie is when he actually makes a transition into Doc Brown after all the weird fucking technology that's been thrown into his hands. This movie is just stupid. I don't even think there's a coherent plot besides the fact that he's like trying to live on Earth for 6 weeks without this guy trying to find him, and he's renting an apartment. And he gets to go into an arcade, and he's like, kids going ape shit while playing a game. And then Hulk Hogan takes over the arcade. He's like, come on, let's do this. Oh! He's throwing him all these commands about how to pilot a spaceship. And then Hulk Hogan ends up like beating this game. And then there's a little part where the little back flap of the arcade opens up and a little
white flag comes
pops
out.
And then Hulk Hogan is so confused on how this was a video game.
He's like, what game? And what? The whole time he's like, use your phasers, use your photon torpedoes. It's fucking afterburner. Jordy. And they tried to cover this up. I would like to know why Sega wouldn't license this to the movie. But it says it's called Star Command or Star Warrior. And Doug Walker, one of my coworkers over on That Guy, he did a review of this movie. And he's like, it's fucking Afterburner. And just, I don't know why they would bother showing that instead of like another space game. Like, there surely must have been one. Like, you could have showed the fucking Vectrex Star Wars game at this point. And just like, what the shit? You know what would have been better if they did the Star Wars trilogy game or something like that? He's like, oh, I fought Vader. That's another thing about this fucking movie.
Christopher Lloyd says. So they want Vader when he's shaving in that movie. Or yeah. Said he looks like Darth Vader.
I rented my rent to Darth Vader this week. And
Marty.
It's so fucking dumb. There's like this movie. It's
fucking
nothing,
terrible.
It's one punchline after another, but there's like no setup.
There's no plot.
It's just, it goes by surprisingly quickly, which is a good thing.
I watched it at 1.5 times speed because I wanted to get it done even quicker.
I watched it at full length.
You poor unfortunate soul.
I had to experience Beige.
You experienced Beige. And I am very sad you had to experience it because this movie is fucking terrible. It's one of the worst pieces of crap I've probably seen. Fucking Troll 2 is better than this movie, because Troll 2 I actually laugh at.
Yeah, this one, I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Really? Y'all need to stop. It just got so fucking lame and just stupid, frankly.
I was like, when is it going to be done? And all of a sudden, he has, like, I thought it was kind of interesting when, like, Christopher Lloyd, like, finds out his technology and, like, tries to become him. Like, takes his outfit and he's trying to stop crime with it. He's like, aw. I thought that was kind of interesting, but then you bring Hulk Hogan back into it, and
I kind of like
also that really stupid scene where Christopher Lloyd has like the alcoholic ex army general who was the doctor from Cannonball Run. If you watch that movie,
was
the Frankenstein guy they got in Cannonball Run. He's fucking pissed out of his mind, and then he's got some like fucking Home Improvement like guys who all tried to be what's his face Tim Allen's fucking companion, but they lost at that. So now in this shitty movie, and they all have drag cars, and they're just parking them everywhere. And then Hulk Hogan picks that shit up, and he's like, "Oh, let's move it." And then there's a scene where, I guess it almost shows you how much of a pussified bunch of people we become when Hulk Hogan is moving his cars. Like, you know how much it's worth, man? What? $30,000. Like, what are you going to do? Take me to the back alley, beat the crap out of me, and then feed me to dogs? He's like, no, man. We're just going to fucking sue you.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
Yeah, we're just going to call. If there's a scratch, we're going to call you for liability and stuff. You know, it's the 90s. Nobody beats the shit out of anybody anymore. And I'm like, there we go. That is the problem with humanity nowadays.
We're going to sue you. One bit I did like from this movie, which actually did have me laughing, is he runs across a mime. Like four or five times, and the mime's like, man, screw this, I'm going back to like Bennigan's or something. And it's just because he, like, the first time he comes across, he's like, oh, you've been caught in a Qatarian force field. Don't worry, I'll get you out of there, and punches him right square in the face. And the mime's like unconscious. The other time, he's like pulling a rope, and the guy runs, he's like, fuck this, just have the rope, I'm getting out of here, you're crazy. And it's, that part I did find kind of funny. Although, one major plot device from this that kind of made no fucking sense. In the beginning of the movie, Shep, that's the character's name, Shep Ramsey. What a stupid fucking name.
That screwed me up. He's like, yes, Shep Ramsey. Now I want someone to make a crossover where they're like, Shep. Chef Ramsey. And then he just put Gordon Ramsay clips there. What the fuck do you want?
I want to put Chef Ramsey in the Suburban Commando armor and just remake this movie.
I Photoshop this later.
When he goes on the president against President whatever the fuck his name is and Colonel Dickbag, I don't know. he cuts off his hand and turns into the lobster hand or whatever. And he escapes from the ship, doesn't bother to try and rescue this president. He gets back on his ship. He's like, good job, Shep. Too bad the president couldn't be saved. Are you out of here? If he fucking tried, maybe. I mean, he basically just went on that ship to kill people. And that's the thing. This movie actually has an extraordinarily high body count, if you think about that. He blows up a ship that has how many hundreds of troops on it at least. And you just killed the leader of a planet. Good job. The next movie I want to talk about is the greatest thing to grace cinema ever. Like I said in the beginning, and as you heard at the end of Just the Facts, Dookie! I'm talking about the cinematic award-winning masterpiece.
The Academy actually got put into the 100 most important films of American cinema alongside RoboCop.
Yep, this will be the movie for which he will be remembered for. No Holds Barred. And this movie, okay, so he plays essentially what is a fictionalized version of himself. It's a character within a character called Rip.
So meta.
And he's literally the World Wrestling Federation. Like, it's Mean Gene commentating and Jesse the Body Ventura. And what happens is he's trying to be wooed by a rival network, which is Kurt Fuller, a.k.a. the Weasley dude from Wayne's World and Ghostbusters 2. That, he always gets... He tries to be a villain in this role. He just comes off as...
Man, he is the worst villain actor if there ever was one.
You know what he is? He's the assistant manager from Wendy's.
No, he is. He's like, I have so much power. You want your fries? I'm going to give you all their fries. I'm going to overdo your fries. Ha. He thinks he has power, but he's just a fucking lackey.
Yeah, like, he tries to do twirly mustache, and it just doesn't work. So he tries to woo Rip over to his network. He's like, I'm going to give you a blank check. You need to come over to my network and join the World Television Network.
Is my money not good enough for you?
Yeah, and he, like, it's so ridiculous. So he's like, you're going to get him. So he hires Joan Severance, who's this incredibly hot girl, even today. She did a nude Playboy set. Yes, I went looking for it. I'm sorry. She's really hot. To woo him and take him on a press tour, because Rip's character does a lot of work with children's charities. So Kurt Fuller, a.k.a. Brell, is like, fuck, what am I going to do? I need ratings. So he goes down to this dive bar where they have basically roughnecks kicking the shit out of each other. And he's like, we need to put this on TV. So he essentially makes bum fights.
Bum fights.
And he's like, look at this world tough guy competition, which is a stupid fucking name. So eventually, this guy comes down. He promises $100,000 to the last man standing. And Tommy Tiny Lister, which you will recognize as the president from The Fifth Element, comes out of jail, and he's a guy named Zeus, this big monster of a motherfucker, just pretty much kills everybody. He just beats the crap out of them so bad. He only says, I'm pretty sure it says 10 words in the entire script. Most of it is just, as he's like beating the shit out of people. So eventually, what happens is, Joan Severance reveals to Hulk Hogan, to Rip, that she's a plant by Brell. He's like, please forgive me. He's like, yeah, sure, whatever. So Zeus is getting really popular in the ratings because he's kicking people's asses. The one guy he fights is a guy called Lug Wrench or Lug Nut or something, who actually played Bane in Batman and Robin much later on in his career.
Oh, wow.
Weird bit of trivia there. Hulk Hogan's brother goes down to watch his brother Randy. I might add, goes down to watch one of these Zeus fights happen, and Zeus finds out that this is Rip's brother, beats the crap out of him. Brell's like, I will not be defeated! Yes, he's Skeletor now.
Nah, he, man!
And tries to rape Joan Severance, which is really fucking out there. So, eventually, Brell gets Rip's attention and says, look, if you come out and fight for me, and if you lose, but make it last 10 minutes, I'll let them go. So he kidnaps the brother and the girlfriend, and he brings them down to this World Tough Guy competition where it's just Zeus and Rip fighting. It's in this huge television. You know what? It looks like a set that was stolen off the goddamn Running Man. So they're fighting, and it gets so intense where Zeus breaks off a piece of the ring. He takes one of the turnbuckles, breaks it in half, and tries to smash Hulk Hogan's face with it. Hulk, or Rip, barely fights back the entire match, and his brother Randy's like, do it for me! Hit him, Rip! And he's like getting the shit kicked out. He figures, you know what, I can last 10 minutes against this guy. And then he sees Joan Severance. She escapes from the bad guys, comes down to ringside with him. Somehow Zeus knocks over his brother and kicks him in the stomach or something. And Rip essentially hulks out, kicks the shit out of Zeus, throws him off easily like a 20-foot drop into the ring so much that it collapses the ring. And then Kurt Fuller's like, you can't do this to me, you maniac! And he's in a television control room. And somehow he dies. He falls back into all this electrical equipment. Like, he's been pulling out wires during the movie for some reason. Because he's like, I can't be showing my defeat. And he falls back and falls down dead from being electrocuted. Then the crowd starts cheering as this guy's body is being electrocuted by, like, 10,000 volts or whatever. He's dead. And then the movie ends on such a stereotypical happy shot. You know what I mean? That fucking 80s freeze frame.
Oh.
And that's the movie. But it is one of the most fun watches you will have. It's been described in some of its reviews as if written by a 13-year-old boy. Now, it's funny they mention that, because when the original script for this movie was received, Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan didn't like it, so they spent 73 hours in a hotel rewriting it. This was the final result. Now, they actually did bring in this Lister guy into the WWE to fight for like 3 or 4 matches. Mm-hmm. Now, this movie bombed at the box office. It just made its money back. If the movie had been more successful, Zeus Lister would have fought at WrestleMania that year, which I think would have been some awesome promo. It
would have been really badass, actually.
Yeah, and it sucks that it never went any further than this. And I think this was like the beginning of the end for Hulk Hogan and his friendship with McMahon, because it's funny. There's another piece of trivia that I read about this is it was a broadcast of either WCW or WWF. Where they're like, it was something along the lines of like Hulk Hogan would promise he'd give me his half of his salary back if this movie didn't make money. So Vince McMahon's like, well, I guess the check got lost in the mail, just like your career or some shit like that. But it was one of the first movies, one of the only few movies released by WWE Studios. Now they do shit like The Marine. Actually, The Calling was produced by WWE Studios, I think. The movie with like Halle Berry this year. What was it? There's one with Stone Cold in it. I can't remember. It was like Survivor Island or some shit like that. They did See No Evil with Kane and all that crap. So I don't know. I thought if this is what if they could produce something as consistently fun as this, I would buy them.
Interesting films. Sorry, WWE produced.
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, they produced. They were co-producer of the Scorpion King.
Yep, that's true. It'd be because of Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yeah, and the Rundown.
Yeah, once again.
And they also co-produced the Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery.
Oh my god, I saw the first trailer for that. I just finished reviewing Justice League War, and they're like, the WWE is facing its greatest mystery ever, the Ghost Bear. And it shows John Cena wrestling a bear. I can't make this up. I actually posted a screen cap on my Instagram. I'm like, I can't fucking believe this.
Oh, here's the one movie I'm looking forward this year from WWE Studios. Leprechaun Origins.
What?
Yep.
What? Holy shit.
It's the 7th film in the Leprechaun film series. It's serving as a reboot.
Oh my god. Another...
And it's gonna star...
Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't really know any of these wrestlers, so... Yeah, it's scheduled to be released on February 28th.
I really hope somehow they get, like, Daniel Bryan in there or something. Or, like, I don't know. No, I want Rey Mysterio versus the fucking Leprechaun.
Well, they have the cast. The Leprechaun is...
Should be Warwick Davis still, right?
What do you call it? Where is... damn it, now it's not. I can't find it. Shit.
Kenny Baker.
Oh, wait, yeah. Dylan Postal.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
It's a little bastard. I think he's that little... Isn't he that little guy who dresses up as a leprechaun? Yeah, man.
You know who I think would be a greater leprechaun? Jason Acuna, a.k.a. Wee Man from Jackass.
Like, fucking... That'd be the funniest shit. Dick House Studios presents the leprechaun.
That would be awesome. Well, I think Bad Grandpa got nominated for makeup effects for an Oscar or something.
What? But they do have good makeup effects.
I can't remember whether it was Golden Globes or whether it was Oscars. I'm probably wrong, but whatever. Another thing of Hulk Hogan's.
No, it has one Oscar nomination.
He did a series where him and a buddy of his owned this high-tech police boat or something and a super jet ski. And it was called Thunder in Paradise. And they basically lived at their island resort fortress. But they had some hot model who owned a bar. And that's where they'd hang out all the time with Hulk Hogan's single daughter. Because he was a widower or something. I want to pull his actual name. Because it was Randolph J. Hurricane Spencer. Man, I've never... It sounds like a name you'd give to yourself. There was a guy, I used to date this girl, like, probably, like, 15 years ago, and her brother had a friend who wanted to give himself the nickname of Dynamite. So much so.
That's not a nickname given. That's a nickname earned.
It got so bad, Scotty, that he would only introduce himself as that, and then he got a tattoo of Dynamite on his arm.
Oh my gosh. I was going to get a tattoo of a ticket on my arm. This is admit one on my bicep.
See, you love
just kidding. I'm just kidding about that.
But this guy, this fucking guy, it sounds so stupid. So the main reason I tie that into Thunder in Paradise is it got so fucking stupid. And he had another guy. See, this name makes a little bit more sense. Martin Brew Brubaker. That makes sense. Brew. Okay, I'm fine with that. But literally, he is an ex-Navy SEAL who've turned into mercs, and they earn a lot of money by using this fucking boat to hunt crime down and drug dealers who always happen to be conveniently located near a canal, lake, inlet. You know, it's like the one joke on on The Simpsons where, like, oh, night boat, don't worry, we'll take that convenient inlet beside the highway. And the first scene of the first movie sums up the entire series entirely too well. He rescues a wife and a child, or a woman and a child from this, what looks like to be a cartel-run village in Cuba or something. Mm-hmm. And he's shooting up the place with chain guns and miniguns and, like, M60s. And he gets on this jet ski with the kid and the girl, and he's coming back towards Thunder. He's like, don't worry, they won't chase us once we get to Cuban waters. And then fucking Airwolf or something.
Once they get to Cuban waters?
Yeah. And they're like, I'm like, what the hell is this? And they're chasing each other down, like, and Nightboat or Thunder is taking, like, we have a missile lock. We must escape. Don't worry, I'll hit
was
the hydro.
Was this
Kit? Yeah, yeah, the boat fucking talks. And it's like, activate hydrofoils or some shit like that. And it is the beginning of the 1990s action adventure trope of bullshit where it just got so fucking stupid. Like beyond belief stupid. And it lasted one season, 22 episodes, but there were 3 TV movies, I think, for this.
That's atrocious.
And yeah, he would do a few more movies during his career. He did Baywatch for an episode. He was in Spy Hard. Three Ninjas, High Noon at Mega Mountain, which I have never seen.
I saw it. Hulk Hogan movies in the 90s and early 2000s were always on Family Channel. So I got to see that, Santa with Muscles. I remember seeing Three Ninjas, whatever it was, a long time ago. My memory of that, I have no idea what happened in that movie.
There was one, I can't remember what movie I saw it in front of, but it's called, there are 2 separate names for it. The one that I know it as, it was called Shadow Warriors. And this was...
I know that movie.
It's basically Terry Hulk Hogan, Shannon Tweed, and Carl Weathers. And it's basically the Expendables D-list. Of people.
So a Playboy model, a wrestler, and
the black guy from Predator.
Yeah, exactly. Dylan.
And he did another version of it later on, and the plot of the movie is they've kidnapped the Chinese Olympic gymnastics team in a fucking cage underwater. And they're like, save us! And he's like, okay. And then the dramatic announcer is like, you better pray they're on your side. Shannon Tweed, Carl Weathers, Hulk Hogan are Shadow Warriors. Ugh! And it's just the most 90s narration ever. And it shows all these clips, and they cut away to one where it's Shannon Tweed. She's like, she's beautiful and deadly. And they always do this. I hate this intro where they show people loading guns, cocking them unnecessarily. I'm a gun guy. I like guns. But Shannon Tweed should not be given a fucking MP5. So anyway, she's cocking it as she's laced up in this fucking nightie or something. And she's like, well, boys, we know what we gotta do. I'm sorry, all females sound like that when I do their voices. I'm terribly sorry. And then Carl Weathers is so channeling Dylan, like, he might as well have said, you son of a bitch. like he does in fucking Predator. And
fuck you, Dylan.
Fuck you, asshole. It's just, it's so stupid. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger. Then at one point in the trailer, he's holding dual M60s or M249s, those giant chain guns or those giant machine guns, you know, from like Call of Duty or fucking Rainbow Six or whatever. And he's like mowing down people. Someone did a video on YouTube where they show Hulk Hogan's kills the Carl Weathers 24-8. So Carl Weathers basically showed up for a paycheck and the fucking crafts table. And yeah, it's just, it's so weird. Now he's on a show now, or it ended, they say. It was called China, Illinois. I've never seen the show, so I don't know what it is. He's evidently the dean on this. And he was in an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger as Boomer Knight. Where the fuck do they come up with these names?
I think they, I think there's like that gag in, was it, South Park, where they realize that Family Guy only gets its jokes because there's like three manatees that pick up balls. Like one's a verb, a noun, and an adjective or whatever.
Yeah, I honestly
just get manatees to pick the names out.
I think that that's how it has to go. Oh, he was also a voice in Saints Row. He was Angel De La Muerte.
I remember how excited we were at the press event for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a fun game, but Saints Row 4 kicks the crap out of it.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
But no, I mean, in closing here, because we're coming up to the top of the hour, plus I really got to pee. I enjoy Hulk Hogan for what he was and for what he's going to be. I mean, he's age 60. He's still a name. You say Hulk Hogan, everybody knows that face, or everybody knows Hulkamania or something like that. It's such an icon of the 80s. He is a childhood hero to so many still. I would love to meet him. Although, you know what I didn't need to see, Scotty, on his resume of cinematic accomplishments?
What?
I did not need to see him having sex. I've seen the sex tape.
I luckily missed that one.
I also have seen the porno version where it's Evan Stone, a.k.a. Zap Brannigan, playing Hulk Hogan. He played the Riddler in the Batman porno. You would know his face. He's like one of the most recognizable guys in porn. He's also a funny motherfucker. But, yeah, he plays Hulk Hogan in the porno. The real version is so much more awkward. Although he's very polite after he gets his blowjob.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Yeah. I'm off to go see my wife. Gotta see the governor. See the governor, see?
It's, oh my god, it's terrible. But you know what? Despite scandals of steroid use, weird sex tapes, his son going to jail for a DUI and possibly killing someone, I think.
And his daughter's music career
sucks. You know what? Party on. You will always be the Hulkster to me. I will remember you.
Let's go to his beach shop. Let's make it a dream to go to his beach shop he runs.
I think that would be really fun. I think, honestly, I still want to meet the guy. I just want to say thank you for so many good childhood memories. And will you please go back to Toronto and beat Rob Ford? He's a favorite of me. What about you, Scott? What are your closing thoughts?
My closing. I can't get words out of my mouth today. My closing thoughts are that, yeah, he was a childhood icon. I think recently I bought a game used. It was like the Legends of WrestleMania or something they released on the 360.
Yeah.
Where it was like a lot of those old wrestlers. Solely because I wanted to make my own new memories of that age gone. And I think I might actually after this go and get a bowl of popcorn on. Instead of watching the Super Bowl, I'm going to watch WrestleMania 3 on DVD. Just sit down and enjoy the cheese that is the 80s wrestling.
Good plan, man. So anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for this month's topic show. Sorry for the delay. Next month's topic show, RoboCop! That's
your move, creep.
Oh my god, it's my Valentine's Day to my wife. I'm taking her out to a nice dinner, and then I'm taking her out to RoboCop. We just finished watching the new remastered edition. You want to hear my review? Go check out Review-O-Rama. And it's going to be awesome. This month, a lot of good content. Nerd news every week. Review-O-Rama is every couple of weeks now. And eventually, we'll get Scotty's anime show off the ground, as we've been promising for months. But good times, though.
Yes, exactly. We're waiting for the dub.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, I'm going to pee my pants here. So until next time, we have been...
The Macho Man, Randy Savage. Oh, yeah, snap into a slip, Jim.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, what you gonna do, brother?
The Ricearoni Jabronis.
I actually did Hulk out there with the arms. Good times. All right, guys, see you next time.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't make it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat f***.
Okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear... somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.